an interview with Anthony Cinefani for the Youngstown State University Oral History Program by Carrie Stanton at Lyle Williams District Office on October 20th, 1983 at 10:45 a.m. Well, first we want to know about just a little different.
Okay.
We want to know about you. We want to know about where you were educated, your parents, where you were brought up, that kind of thing.
Okay, I was born in Strutters, Ohio, September 27th, 1929. My dad's name was Theodore.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's name was Nellie. And we had, I had one brother. Well, actually, I had three brothers and one sister, but two of them passed away at an early age,
mm-hmm.
1 and 2 years of age, so I don't naturally remember them. One was younger, one was older than me, and come from a family basically, well, my dad worked in a steel mill. I wouldn't say we were poor, but I wouldn't say it's average, between poor and average.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was a typical immigrant come across from Italy. My mother was born and raised in this country.
Mm-hmm.
My dad had one thing. And
where did he come from in Italy?
He came from a town called Simona Valley,
oh.
In about, I guess, around 80 miles north of Rome.
Mm-hmm.
I've been wanting to get there, but I've got two aunts, my dad's two sisters, but they're quite old, I understand. They're in their 80s, and they're anxiously waiting for their nephew to come and see him that supposedly made good in this country. But I just haven't had, for some reason or other, I've had the desire, but never had the, I guess, time or the
mm-hmm.
financial means for that type of a
mm-hmm.
trip. And my dad had one thing in mind. He made sure that, tried to make sure that his children were educated. And two families lived together. My mother's sister and her family, we lived together, which was my aunt. So there was 8 children in the house between, and there was 4 adults. There was 12 in the house, and so as I said before, we were, you know, we were quite crowded.
Mm-hmm.
But out of the 8 children in the house, I was the only one to graduate. The other 7 never graduated; they quit school
mm-hmm.
for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that means anything. I graduated from Strutters High School in 1947.
Mm-hmm.
Just average.
Mm-hmm.
I never really, you know, did anything exceptional,
mm-hmm.
just got by.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's it. I liked school.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no desire to go to college. And I went and worked for a company called American News Company, which was a magazine wholesale distributor, big company. They had 400 or 500 branches. And I started sweeping the floors and packing magazines and worked my way up and became a truck driver, a route salesman. Then I worked my way up to a manager, and I was transferred up to Ashtabula to run one of the branches. And from then on, that's when I got interested in selling, and then I've
mm-hmm.
been in sales, and I was in business a couple times.
Tell us about it.
Tell you about it. Well,
yeah.
One was a disaster. But the first one, I worked in a sheet and tube, and I came back from Master Bueller, moved back here because the company, after 92 years, it folded,
mm-hmm.
closed all their branches. So
that had nothing to do with you, though.
No,
right?
No. Mine was one that made money,
okay.
But it couldn't carry the other 399. So I moved back and went to work for Sunshine Biscuit Company,
mm-hmm.
and as a salesman, and went into business, bought a little business in New Springfield, Ohio, a little grocery store,
mm-hmm.
and then the Sunshine Biscuit people didn't appreciate a salesman owning a business,
mm-hmm.
so they gave me a choice of either quitting or they're going to fire me unless I sold the store. Well,
mm-hmm.
I had no intention of selling my little business, so I quit. And I went to work in the Youngstown Sheet and Tube, and then I worked during the day there, and I went to school for as electrical apprentice,
mm-hmm.
and I learned the electrical trade, electrician, and run my little store, and then after 4 years sold it,
mm-hmm.
and because it was a grind working 2 jobs, and I felt say that I did get married in 1951.
Get that right?
1951. Oh, so, married the former Shirley Jean Ramsbottom, who was a Struthers family.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had one daughter, Deborah Jean. 1952, she was born. And then in 1962, we had another child, Mark Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes care of the children. And as I said, we had the business and sold that one. Mm-hmm. And then about 3 or 4 years later, I got the urge to go back in business, even though I was working for the Youngstown Sheet and Tube. So I went back and bought another store in New Springfield. And from then, a friend of mine who worked for Superior Meats heard about a big supermarket being built in New Middletown, a new plaza going up, so he talked to me and we decided to go ahead and take it, so we did. It was a very large store and a big investment, and it was a total disaster after 2 years.
Who was your partner in there?
Dean McMurray.
Oh, mm-hmm.
After 1 year, he pulled out, and I stayed in for another year, but mm-hmm. I struggled, but I couldn't see no light at the end of the mm-hmm. tunnel. So I turned it back over to Golden Dawn. The company took it back, and that was a financial disaster, which incidentally took me about 6 years to recoup, like paying for a dead horse.
Yeah.
But I met a lot of nice people while I was in that business, and as it turned out, it helped me out because I went to work for Procino and Rossi, P&R Macaroni Corporation, mm-hmm. out of Auburn, New York. And I had an opportunity to take a position to manage Fond du Lac Country Club. Well, my wife had been working there, and she still does. She was the office manager, and so they, for some reason, thought that I could manage it, so I did take the position. It was very successful. And then I wanted to get into politics.
Were you still working for P&R then?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But then I decided to, it was too much, so I left P&R, took a leave of absence mm-hmm. to run Fond du Lac. I stayed mm-hmm. there 1 year,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to get into politics, so I discussed it with the owners.
What made you decide that?
Well, I've always wanted to get into politics. That was probably my fantasy or my secret dream,
mm-hmm.
and I always wanted to be the mayor of City of Struthers, for what it's worth. So I told my wife, we lived in Boardman at the time, and I said, well, we're moving back to Struthers. I want to run for mayor. And so...
What did you think of that?
Well, she thought it was all right.
Yeah.
So we did. We moved back to Struthers, and I found out the election time, the mayor wasn't up. So second highest office was the president of council. So I said, all right, I'll run for that. So I ran against a gentleman who, his dad was in politics in Struthers, and he was for years, and then mm-hmm. he was in that position for, mm-hmm. I think, eight years.
Who was it?
Tom Vasvary.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I'm going to run for president of council. Well, the cute story is my next-door neighbor was Ted Maseko, Sr., who was the law director, city solicitor of Struthers for years. So I went over to him for some advice, political advice, and he says, okay. He says, I'll guide you. He says, first thing you do is, he says, you run for precinct committeeman for a few years, and then he says, and then you might try councilman. I said, hey, that sounds all right. And next week I went out and took papers for the president of council. I did everything the opposite of what he advised. And the cute story was, one of the local, I guess, supposedly underworld characters mm-hmm. in the town, sent somebody to my home, and they wanted to talk to me. And I says, well, he says, come on, let's take a ride. I says, no. I says, you want to talk to me? I says, come on in the house. It was in the summer. I was cutting the grass. So he came in. And I says, what can I do for you? I knew the gentleman. I didn't even mention his name. And he says, we don't want you to run for president of council. I said, what do you mean you don't want me to run? He says, well, it's not your turn yet. You know, we decided to wait, and we'll tell you when. I said, no, you're not going to tell me when. I said, go back and tell so-and-so, who I knew, that he has nothing to worry about, that I'm not going to win anyway, you know. But so I don't know why he's so worried. So anyway, the day of election, I was going around to the polls, and I seen this individual, and So I went up to him, shook hands. Well, like I say, I knew the family all my life. We went to school with one of the brothers. And I says, you know, I says, I don't know why you're so concerned. I said, I have no intentions of winning. I says, you know, and I said, you have to send a, this, and happened to the other individual was there. I said, this goon up to my house. I said, and we laughed about it because, really, I think I'm the only one that thought that I wasn't going to win. Everybody else that I spoke to said, you're going to win. I said, never happened. But as it turned out, that evening, I won. And so I didn't know what to do. I was completely, so I says, I felt I owed Tom Vasbury, who happened to be, I had respect for him. Mm-hmm. I thought he did a decent job as a president of council. I don't know why I ran against him. I decided I should do something, so I went up his house that evening. And somebody says, you're not supposed to go to the one you defeat. He's supposed to come to you. And I said, no, I think I owe him that respect. So it's the funny part. My brother-in-law said, well, I'll go with you. Well, I went to this gentleman's house because that's where he was supposed to have his victory party, and I knocked on the door, and they said, come on in. So there was a lot of talking going on as I was walking down the steps, and I guess as I kept going down, then they finally seen my face, everything quiet. You could have heard a pin drop, and because it was, I guess, it was the last person they expected to see. So I went up to Tom, and I said, Tom, I don't know why I'm here. I'll never forget it. It's the exact words. I said, but I just felt that I owe you the respect to come up and pay my respects to you. And I said, especially, I didn't think I was going to win. And Tom said, well, I didn't think you were either. And everybody bust out laughing, and that broke the ice. But we became very good friends and since then, and still is, as far as I go. But this is, then I was president of council for a year, and the present mayor, Tom Creed, decided to take a position with eData Corporation, so then I automatically became the mayor, and I served for 3 more years of the unexpired term. Then I ran, and just show you how politics are, one of my best allies, and I don't say friends, you never have friends in politics, you have either allies or foes, either one, but he was supposed to have been an ally, and we ran together the first time as a team. And I was flabbergasted when I was up for re-election. Nobody was going to run against me. And next thing you know, I read in the paper, he filed to run against me. So then, so anyway, I was fortunate. I won re-election. And then I met Lyle Williams.
Wait a minute. What about Struthers? Let's go back to
Struthers. Oh, Struthers? Okay.
Yeah. There are a lot of problems.
Well, I'm very happy to say that I was probably one of the few mayors, and this can be substantiated, that even in spite of having an all Democratic official, every single one was a Democrat as I was, I had nothing but problems. I mean, it was just fighting tooth and nail continuously, but in spite of that...
Why do you think that was?
Well, just like
most... Personality or...?
No, most politicians always want to elevate the higher. Everybody wants to be the president of the United States eventually, every politician. So every councilman wanted to be mayor. And but they naturally they didn't want to seek the position, but they wanted to act like they were. And everybody, you know, wanted to make a big show, and especially our meetings were taped live, or aired over the Struthers station through high school. Everybody wanted to hear themselves on radio when they went home because it was played again. And so they really fought me on a lot of things, but I'm happy to say that under my administration, we have a whole new park system. We had a brand new swimming pool, which didn't cost the city a dime. We got the railroad tracks repaired. We got new fire trucks. We got new crew. We had new cruisers every year. We'd buy 2 new cruisers. We had a street resurfacing program, and when I left office, they were still in the black. Pretty good shape the city was in the back. But 1977, when the sheet and tube closed, it was that's when it started to go downhill. And I'm not chastising any mayor since I've left, because conditions, although I think they should have seen what was happening and started to cut back, but most politicians hate to lay off anybody city employees or federal or state, whatever, because they're mostly supporters of theirs. But in the case like Struthers, we had a different sort of government. It was under the statutory form, the weak mayor form of government, which is that the mayor had no jurisdiction of appointing any cabinet member other than the safety service director and the tax commissioner. Mm-hmm. That was the only two appointees he had, whereas the strong mayor form, such as city of Lowellville, Youngstown, Camel, and most of them, in fact, I really don't know of another one other than mm-hmm. the city of Struthers. I'm not saying there's not around here. Mm-hmm. There probably is, but I don't think so. Mm-hmm. That they appoint the police chief, finance director, fire chief, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So we really had no, the mayor had no strength in that capacity because police chief, fire chief, and as I said earlier, the finance director, which is the auditor, they were civil service, except the auditor, he was an elected official, mm-hmm. and the law director was an elected official. Mm-hmm. So the mayor really had very few appointments.
What do you think is going to happen with this new, they have that
charter?
Yeah, up for vote.
Well, the charter is like anything else. It's a tool, but it's only good as the people that are in the position that are that would come under the charter. Mm-hmm. I think the people of Struthers are really desperate, and they're searching for a solution, which I give them a tremendous amount of credit. But I personally, my personal thoughts on the charter in this sense is not the answer. I mean, not if it was good times, things were, you know, taxes, mm-hmm. the money's coming in,
yeah,
income tax,
yeah.
Then it's a different story.
Yeah.
But they're looking for something because they, I think they're trying to, they blame the administration and the council for the position they're in. Well, it's maybe some of it might be, but I don't think it's fair to really blame them for the financial mm-hmm. system, because you can check anywhere in any distressed area, you're going to find that even the county and our own county are financially in trouble. All the cities, other than possibly maybe Lordstown, where you have, mm-hmm. they're fortunate to have General Motors in there, where they have the income tax mm-hmm. Coming in. But the charter, I don't think, is the answer, because I was down at a couple meetings as a concerned citizen. I don't live in Struthers, but I have a couple pieces of property in there. My daughter lives there, and granddaughter, so I was interested. I went to one of the meetings, and I read the proposed charter, and I there were certain things in there I couldn't see. I think it's bad. I mean, one is that three councilmen can control the whole city, and this to me is wrong. The mayor has no power whatsoever, no veto mm-hmm. power, and there was nothing in there for any veto power, period.
Mm-hmm.
At least under any form of government, the mayor has a veto power where it takes 75% of the council mm-hmm. to override it.
Mm-hmm.
There was none. So if they, they're suggesting five council people, so if you get three of them, form a group and have a struggle or power struggle there, they can control the whole city, three
mm-hmm.
individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, people are very, very uneducated in the local government, how powerful a councilman position or councilwoman, whatever you choose to use, is. For example, this is a true story. When I was the mayor of Struthers, a individual who owns a big supermarket in Girard, Ohio, called me and asked if I could help him out. And I said, well, what was the dilemma? He says the council that night were going to vote on a piece of legislation that would ban the sale of California lettuce in the city of Girard, because at that time that's when that Chavez was having
mm-hmm.
trouble with the lettuce growers
yeah.
in California. And people don't realize, but had there been four councilmen, well, even say five, four could have passed it, but five would have overrode any veto
mm-hmm.
the mayor might have had. But to give you an idea, five councilmen, five individuals could have voted a piece of legislation, which is the law, stating that no grocery store or retail outlet could sell California lettuce in the city of Girard, and it would be law. It
mm-hmm.
absolutely would be law.
Hmm.
I mean, and this is frightening because it sounds ridiculous, but a councilman has a tremendous amount of power, more power than a mayor to start with, and to a degree, he has more legislative power than the President of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can actually write the laws for that community. Now, the sad part of it is there is no requirements of educated people to be a the council person. All you would need, like in the city of Struthers, or just about any city according to size, I know at one time the city of Struthers took $11 and 25 signatures on a petition, and you could be placed on a ballot, and you could have been elected, possibly elected to a legislator.
Mm-hmm.
And with no education whatsoever, and I'm not sitting here saying that an educated person would make a better legislator than a non-educated, but I would think that, I think our system is wrong in that sense, because there's no requirements other than being a citizen of the United
mm-hmm.
States
mm-hmm.
and 21, I think it's 18 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the requirement. And it's frightening because most elected officials are not elected on their qualifications. They're elected as a popularity contest
mm-hmm.
is all it is.
Yeah.
And that's sad, too. But again, it's fair for one as it is for the next, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm rambling on. I don't mean to.
That's all right. That's all right. Okay, now we'll talk about Lyle.
Okay. Oh, then let me tell you about how...
Yeah.
This is a question people always ask me. How did you, a Democrat, a mayor of the second largest city in Mahoning County, come to take a position like I have with a commissioner from a different county?
Yeah.
He says, were you people, you and Lyle, good friends? And the answer is no. We weren't what you call good friends. The only time I was with Lyle's company probably was maybe three or four times. One, the most, we took a trip to San Antonio, Texas. He was a commissioner of Trumbull County, and I was the mayor of Struthers. We
mm-hmm.
went with E-Data down to see, we had a meeting, a convention down there. So he went, and I went as a mayor. And we spent 5 days together with there was a county commissioners from Trumbull County, naturally
mm-hmm.
Lyle was, commissioners from Mahoning County, Mike Bidas, and there must have been about 10 or 15 from this area went down. And so I spent a week with Lyle, but that was basically it. Then I served on the board of E-Data,
mm-hmm.
and Lyle was happened to be the chairman 1 year, and so I attended the meetings, which was once a month, so he was there for a year. So the most I was, if I attended all the meetings, it was 12 meetings.
Mm-hmm.
That was the extent of it.
Must have been love at first sight, huh?
Well, I'll tell you how it happened, and it was, it's just funny, I'll tell you, because I was 77, September 19th, the Sheet and Tube closed down.
Mm-hmm.
That was Black Monday.
Mm-hmm.
A year later, they had a function right here on Federal Plaza to commemorate it, and I was still the mayor of Struthers,
mm-hmm.
so they asked me to be one of the speakers to see how the city had done in a year,
yeah.
you know, since that happened. And it was in the, Lyle had won the primaries, and this was in September, as I said, and the election was in November, and Lyle was in the audience. It was a nice, warm day, and when I was through speaking, the program was over, I walked down, and I shook hands with Lyle and wished him luck, and first time I'd seen him in...
Mm-hmm.
Month.
He was running for Congress.
He was running for Congress against
mm-hmm.
Charles Carney the
mm-hmm.
first time. And he was standing with Jack Hunter at the time. I remember it distinctly. So Lyle said, Tony, can I talk to you a moment? I said, yeah. And I said, what's up? And he says, you know, I want you to come on my staff when I'm elected. Well, first of all, I was surprised because I said, this boy is in for a big surprise. I don't think he thinks he's going to win. And I didn't think he was going to win.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and I'm sure that most people didn't think he was going to win. You know, Charles
mm-hmm.
Carney was a
yeah.
powerful
yeah.
political figure.
Yeah.
I just says, well, let me think about it. I mean, it was just one of those things, let me think about it. Well, I completely forgot about it. I didn't even tell my wife about it because I just didn't think that much of it. And then I met Lyle again. The governor was in town at one of the functions at Mr. B's in Cornersburg, and Lyle was there again. He was campaigning, and I was there to see the governor. And so I met Lyle again, and he says, you going anywhere afterwards? I said, no. He said, well, let's go get a sandwich at the mansion. I said, well, all right, you know. So we stopped at the mansion. He says, have you thought any more of what I said? And I says, what? And he says, I want you to come. I says, well, Lyle. I says, you know, I says, you got to be crazy to start with. I says, I'm a Democrat. And he says, that don't mean anything. I said, why would you want me? He said, well, for one thing, he says, I've watched your career, and he says, I think you've done an excellent job down there. And he says, I think you know the valley. and you know Mahoning County, and I think you'd be an asset to me. I said, well, that's nice. I said, let me think about it. So that night I did tell my wife. I said, you want to hear something funny? So I told you. And she says, well, you know, something to think about. And I said, well, we'll see. So through the whole campaign, that was every time he'd see me, he says, well, what do you say? I said, I'm thinking. But the night of election, when he had won, completely surprised me and his wife. And my finance director, John Kovach, and George Wilson, who since then we formed Caslow Corporation. Mm-hmm. We were having a meeting that night, happened to be on the Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. And we seen Lyle won. So George is a staunch Republican under Rhodes. He was appointed by Rhodes, Governor Rhodes. Mm-hmm. He said, let's go up and congratulate Lyle. I said, yeah, that's a good idea. He was up the Avalon Inn because I don't think there was any election going on in Strother to speak of. Mm-hmm. There was nothing up, so there was nothing to do. So we went up. And as I walked in, the place was crowded. Lyle seen me, and he was on the microphone. And he said, here comes my favorite mayor. And I walked up to him, and he put his hands out, and he says, well, partner, are you with me? And it just come out. I said, yes. I didn't even, it just
mm-hmm.
come out.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, the Vindicator was there, and I made the front page, mm-hmm. shaking hands with Lyle. Here's mm-hmm. a Democrat. You know, now the Democrats think I'm a traitor, and I think to this day they still think I'm a traitor. But I've got to say this, many of them privately says, Tony, that was the smartest thing mm-hmm. you ever did.
Yeah.
So that's how it came to be. And my wife heard about it on TV that night, that, you know, somebody picked it up, and they just put two and two together. Mm-hmm. Why was I there? And
mm-hmm.
and so then that's when I, after I said yes, I said, my God, what am I doing? I said, this guy's going to be a one-termer. I said, I'm going to be out in the street. But when I said yes, and I committed myself to him, and mm-hmm. I still do, and mm-hmm. As it turned out, mm-hmm. I'm very happy working for him, and I mm-hmm. like to think we're doing a good job. Mm-hmm. Evidently, the people must think mm-hmm. so.
Tell me what you do for him.
Well, I basically, my title is administrative aide for Mahoning County.
Mm-hmm.
I take care of the district. I, in essence, to a degree, fill in for him when he's mm-hmm. in Washington on speaking engagements mm-hmm. or functions, ribbon cutting, or and then I handle the SBA, Small Business Administration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We assist people in how to go about funding their new businesses or old businesses. I try to guide them and things of this, and then I run the office here.
Mm-hmm. You kind of filter things out for him?
Oh, yes, yes. I if I think something is important, this is what I tell the people, too, and it's a proven fact. Some people do have a tendency, you know, to feel that they can't get a hold of their congressman. And I tell this story, and I still hold true to it. I says, I'll give you 1 week to get a hold of your state senator. I'll give you 1 week to get a hold of your governor. I'll give you 1 week to get a hold of your United States senator.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you give me 1 hour,
mm-hmm.
and I'll get a hold of your congressman for
mm-hmm.
you. And I mean that, and that's true, because when I call Lyle, unless he's on the floor voting, he knows it's important,
mm-hmm.
or else I don't bother
mm-hmm.
him. I mean, and he knows he has enough faith in me that he comes down here maybe 2-3 times a month in this office,
mm-hmm.
and he has no worries that this office mm-hmm. is being run properly, and the district is run properly,
mm-hmm.
because if I feel something comes up that I think it's important that he be there, then I'll tell him, I'll call him, say, Lyle, I said, I think you should be there. Okay, fine, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I think it's that, not that it's not important enough, I mean, I just think that the priorities are that I think something else is probably a little more important.
Because
mm-hmm. every individual comes into this office, their problem is the most
important. What kind
important.
Of problems? Just out of curiosity, what kind of problems do you get? You know,
well, we get, believe me.
No.
Well, we're not allowed by law
yeah.
anyway. But okay, on a lower level, as a mayor, you get the calls that the dogs are barking,
mm-hmm.
The garbage hasn't been picked up,
mm-hmm.
You know, things of this sort.
Mm-hmm.
But in this position, the people really have problems. They come in for, all right, the servicemen. The family comes in, I want to get my son out of the service. Some people want to get him into the service. Some people, a lot of it lately is disability. People
mm-hmm.
are on disability. They've been cut off because under the Reagan administration, what he
mm-hmm.
did is just basically cut everybody off,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to go for a reexamination.
Mm-hmm.
And he has, by doing that, you'd be surprised how many people have been cut off,
mm-hmm.
rightfully so.
Yeah.
Now, the ones that really need it, when they have a reexamination,
mm-hmm.
they are reinstated.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them haven't been.
How do they think that he can help them, though? Just direct them?
Can, yes. We direct. We assist, and a lot of times directly we could. We have the call at the hotline. It's a FTS line.
Mm-hmm.
You go to every government agency in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Direct line. We have communication, and I don't directly do it, but we have three caseworkers
mm-hmm.
out there that does it. That with the Social Security, with the veterans, with the Army, with the Navies, we have HUD people, we have SBA,
mm-hmm.
and what we do is we pick the phone up. If we can cure it by a phone call, we do it,
mm-hmm.
or solve it, I should say. But most times you can't do it. You have to sit down and write a letter.
Mm-hmm.
And then we correspond and we intercede for the individual. And we've got files and files of letters that people, we've been successful. But a lot of times we're not successful
mm-hmm.
simply because the case just doesn't warrant
mm-hmm.
in their favor.
Mm-hmm.
And it just that I have a paper here, which here's a gentleman that's having a hearing, a Department of Health and Human Services. This is for the state of Ohio, but yet they come to us to see if we could help. Well, he's got a, well, we have. We did some letters.
Why do they? Don't they get enough results?
As I stated earlier,
mm-hmm.
try to get, and I'm not condemning the state
mm-hmm.
senators,
mm-hmm.
it's just,
right.
But I'm saying, they are not easily accessible
mm-hmm.
as we are.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple
mm-hmm.
as that.
Right.
I mean, you know, for whatever their reasons, I can't answer for
mm-hmm.
them. But when Lyle took over, the previous congressman had one office in town here, a small office, and he had a part-time office
mm-hmm.
in Warren in the basement of the post office, which
mm-hmm.
you couldn't find. Lyle said the problems are here, not Washington, so what
mm-hmm.
he did is we have, I think, a staff of 18 people, and out of the 18, we have 2, 4, 6 in Washington,
mm-hmm.
and the other 12 are in the district.
Mm-hmm.
We have two offices, and they're both staffed.
Mm-hmm.
And as you see, you had no trouble finding this
right.
because we took the best spot right on Public Square,
mm-hmm.
right at the ground floor. It's easy accessible.
Mm-hmm.
We're not hiding. We
mm-hmm.
want the people to come in and with their problems. And as I said, we've been very successful with a lot of them, and some of them we haven't been as successful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we try to help them with any problem they have. Passports, a lot of it's passports. A lot of it's trying to get their relatives from the old country over here. It's just, even some want tickets for the football games and stuff like this, you know, to see if you can help us out.
Uh-huh.
And a day doesn't go by. I was having a meeting this morning in a restaurant. That's why I was a little late getting here. And the reason was, after I got through with the first meeting, and a lot of my meetings are held out.
Mm-hmm.
That's my person,
mm-hmm.
because I'll go wherever they want me to
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
And a lady stopped me, and she started to tell them, she knew who I was, and she says, her son just got out of the service. He went down to the employment office to try to get a job, and they said, well, you can't get sign up for unemployment because you have an honorable discharge. If you had a dishonorable, you could get it, and see, that's all state. And I said, I'm late. I said, call me at the office. I said, I'll make a few phone calls
mm-hmm.
to Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'll see what I could do. But see, that we handle a lot of the state problems.
Mm-hmm.
And one incident happened. We recommended, we couldn't help them. We recommended getting in touch with a certain state senator who doesn't have an office. And here they have to call their home.
Mm-hmm.
And the individual called the home, and the wife really, we said, you know, tell them that we recommend that they call. And what we heard about it, the phone rang back, and the wife says, you know, what are you doing? You know, getting in the, trying to be smart. We said, no, I don't have to be in with me. I said, you know, we can't help them. We feel the senator can help them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, quit recommending people here, you know. But this is what you're up against,
uh-huh.
you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I think this is a success of Lyle, because he definitely, we are trying to help as many people as we can. And a lot of times we prove successful, a lot of times we don't.
Mm-hmm.
But that's,
do you ever have to travel to Washington?
Washington, yes.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm supposed to go next Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
I like to get down there. I try to get down, not on a regular schedule, because I like to get down 5-6 times a year.
Uh-huh.
And the only reason I do that is not that I have to go down there for any specific case. It's just that I like to keep abreast of what's going on down there, because we have excellent staff in Washington. We have Marty Milich, who was Mayor Hunter's administrative assistant, is in Washington. He commutes, and he's there 4 to 5 days a week, sometimes 60 stays over.
How many people did you say he has down there?
Six. Six people. One, two, no, I think we're down to five. Five. One of them was put on the staff of another committee that Lyle got him on. So we're down to five in Washington. But that's basically all we need, because with the access to the phones that we have directly to the different departments, a lot of it we don't involve Washington unless we really have to. And a lot of people make, because they really don't know, they make a mistake. I shouldn't say a mistake. They'll write directly to Washington, and then a lot of it comes right back here. Because it's a case, you know, we have individuals that are specialists in certain things. We have one girl handles nothing but the Veterans Administration and the military. One handles nothing but Social Security and disability. And one handles Medicare and Medicaid and handles other things. She runs a computer, and she handles nothing but legislation. If you want to know something about legislation, this is what we try to do. They're an expert in their field. Everybody has a certain job, and so it sounds terrible sometimes. Some people will call me, and they'll always ask, they'll ask for the congressman. Well, naturally, he's not here. Well, I speak to Mr. Cinefani. I says, so I get on. He says, Mr. Cinefani, he says, then they start rattling off that they got a problem on Social Security. And I said, well, I said, you know, I don't mean to, you know, fluff you off, but I said, I don't handle that. And they probably wonder, you know, in fact, one woman the other day said, boy, you're not very intelligent, are you? And I says, well, by your standards, I might not be. I said, well, you want to know anything about SBA, ask me. I know frontward and backward, but I don't know a thing about Social Security. I said, but I'll let you speak to one of the ladies. And that's what I do. Put it on hold, and I tell certain, and they take it, and they handle it. That's exactly the way that, but that's basically what I do. I mean, that's my position.
Just kind of as an aside, what do you think is going to happen here in Youngstown? What's the future? Is there a future?
It's, oh, yes, absolutely. There's a future, but see, here's what people fail to realize, Terry, is that if Youngstown was losing these new companies coming in, then you could blame somebody. But they're not going anywhere. See what I mean? They're just, quote, unquote, hardly any new companies, any new businesses. So if we were losing them, then you could say, well, you know, why didn't you keep them here? But they're just not that many going up. So we're at a standstill now that, remember, for years and years and years, this was a mill town. We depended on Youngstown Sheet Tube, Republic Steel, U.S. Steel, and you know, no way will they ever go out of business. My father worked there. My grandfather worked there. You know, and then, but it happened. It did happen, but it didn't only happen here. If it just happened in Youngstown, Ohio, then it's a different story. But it happened all over the United States. We just, same way with the utility companies and everything, our gas bills were so low and electric bills were so low, and now the whole thing just catching up with us. Same way with our our steel mill town. Now we have to diversify. Well, it's not that easy. Somebody wants to come into Youngstown. I say, oh, Youngstown, that's a steel town. You know, that's not a high-tech town. It's not a automobile town. Well, now it's changed around. Now we are noted mostly for our automobile. Now we got a new company coming in, American Sunroof. We have Hunt Steel, which is a very viable. They have problems. But just like any new company, they're going to have problems. But I strongly believe that it will be a good, solid company in a few years. We've got more looking, but I'll tell you what has hurt us tremendously, and this isn't political, but we've had a lot of very, very bad publicity in the last year or so that has just been uncalled for and just with no truth to it. I mean, we've had problems in the past. We've had this town that was noted for its, we had some bad elements, but very few towns don't, just that some are publicized more, and this one happened to be. And I think it's hurt us tremendously. There's no question in my mind that it has. I've been places, and they said, where are you from? Well, before I used to say, well, automatically, Youngstown, Ohio, even though I never, ever lived in the city of Youngstown, but still it's my home. Oh, yeah, you got to get trouble down there. Well, you got a goofy sheriff. You got the racketeers and this and that, you know. How are you going to, you know, sit there and justify it, and, you know, and then tell them, well, that don't believe what you read. Well, what do you mean? We didn't read. We've seen it on 2020. We've seen it on television.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it in the Wall Street Journal 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Our sheriff made front page mm-hmm. of the Wall Street Journal, all derogatory.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I mean, I'd love to be on the Wall Street Journal. Why don't they put that Wall Street Journal American Sun Roast Company in there?
Mm-hmm.
Something, you know, positive. Even if a company that opens up, for example, this Jimmy M. Delicatessen, so we were fortunate enough to get them an SBA loan.
Mm-hmm.
There's a nice new business that employed 12, 15 people. Put that in the Wall Street Journal. I mean, you know, it's positive. No, they don't want it. They want the...
They want the bad news.
Want the bad. And the sad part of it, if it was true, fine. I have nothing matter with printing the truth.
Mm-hmm.
If it's bad, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I see, you know, I mean, look around. Have you seen... you know, the town that much cleaner? I always thought it was pretty decent myself
mm-hmm.
before, you know. An individual made a remark, he's going to start tearing down buildings with bulldozers. I drove by there not too long ago. I had to go out to the turnpike. That building's still standing. I mean, you know what I mean? But yet, somebody in California, if they were thinking of moving a company up to Youngstown, Ohio, oh, I'm not moving my family. Or a wife reads about the bombings that they've seen on 2020 and the incident that happened 20, 30 years ago, and they said, oh, I'm not moving there. You,
yeah.
you know, the husband's getting transferred. She said, you're going without me. I'm not going to Youngstown, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, Youngstown's a beautiful, beautiful area. I mean, I think
mm-hmm.
that's why I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had opportunities to,
mm-hmm.
when I was younger, to move to Florida and other places, but
mm-hmm.
as they say, be it ever so humble, it's still home.
Anything you'd like to add?
Well, no, I apologize if I ramble, but I
oh.
have a tendency to do that, but I do get carried away, but that's me. I'm not going to change.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.